Today's gospel is taken from the 28th chapter of Matthew. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." Thanks be to God indeed. So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Just have a couple notes here. When every week, myself, Beth, other pastors meet in the area Wednesdays here at the church, and we go over the text study, or go over what's coming up for the reading. So we went up over, discussed this reading. And one of the pastors, she's in Alaska, she says, "This is not the Jesus I like. This is the Jesus I get." And I was thinking about that phrase, you know, this is not the Jesus I like, but this is Jesus I get. So you can decide how to take that, positively, negative, maybe, it just depends on how you're feeling, how your day is. But I choose to take this particular Jesus right here, John Martin, David Nelson, and Jerry Hacker. Those three created this beautiful thing. I think this is one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Yes. What I like about it, and what the thing I think about, and I asked Jerry to kind of create something that I was thinking about, kind of a ripping, you know, that's what he, ripping through, and I think of God through Jesus ripping through our finite world and bringing the infinite to us. That's the image I have. I mean, there's lots of ways, because that's how art works, and that's how Jesus works in surprising ways. But for me, ripping who we are and our sad sacks of stuff open and infusing God's love and God's grace and God's mercy. That's the Jesus that I get. Two. Hope is life beyond the next breath. We were talking in the text study about hope. It seems like hope is something that is a good thing. You want to have hope. People who don't have hope or lose hope, it can be rough. Those can be the rough places. So hope is life beyond the next breath. And I've said this before. This is my definition of resurrection. Resurrection is hope beyond your last breath. Resurrection is hope beyond your last breath. So again, it's that Jesus, it's God through Jesus, ripping us open and showing us there's more. This earth is awesome, and there's great things to do, and you're going to know me and my love, and you're going to give love to the world. And in the end, we'll be together in a new way, in a great way. When you take your last breath on this earth, you have hope that you will be with me. That's what hope is. Now, here's why I know it. These are the three reasons why I know it. We're just this week. So I was standing by Frank today in the bass section, and I showed him a picture of what I have. This is a celebration of the faith and life of James Robert Spade from his memorial service. And I'm keeping this here for 1 year, and then I'm going to put it away. But it's just a reminder for me of someone I dearly loved who was an awesome human being. You know, and I opened that up, and then, where's Frank at? And then Frank opened his up, too, and what'd he have? He had old Jim right there with him, too. So we gave each other a little fist bump, and it was all good. That just brought a tremendous sense of hope for me. You know, someone who was past, and yet can remind me that hope, there's hope beyond my last breath. That saint exhibited that and lived that out till his very last breath. I promise you, hope beyond his last breath. So that's the first one. Then, I'm going on the 29th, April 29th, to memorial. I met my birth mother when I was 30. She was married to Floyd for over 50 years. She told me he made a promise. I'm either going to go 25, and if it doesn't work out, get yourself another person, or we're going to go 50. Well, he made it precisely 50 and a little longer. And he died earlier this week. And what she told me was, on Wednesday, he died Thursday, she had called a priest to come, because when they were married, he was a practicing Catholic, and she was Lutheran, but she agreed to do all the things that you do, and got married, and the vows, and the classes, and everything, and they raised their kids Catholic, and then for the past 25 years, they moved away from that. But she thought it'd be good to bring the priest in, to kind of bring things back. So he anointed Floyd with oil at the end of life, like you would do, like we would do as well. You know, there's lots of ways to kind of finalize someone's life. And that was on Wednesday. And so Judy, my birth mother, was leaving with my sister Mandy, and he kissed her on the head, and she kissed him on the hand, that's my sister. And then he said, "Don't mess with my crosses," because the priest had put the oil on his head and on his hand. "Don't mess with my crosses." What a powerful statement. You know, what I know, because this man was in tremendous pain for the past 18 months. But I know with great pain comes great humor. And I mean, I get this genetically. I mean, I live life fully, and you know, I've had stuff happen, but life is good and it's funny. It just is. It has to be. That's part of hope. Yeah. "Don't mess with my crosses." That's a powerful one. And then, just as a bonus, just this morning, my friend Dean, I've talked about him many times, my Baptist turned Lutheran friend, I met him in Tahoe, we started having coffee together after an interdenominational text study, and the more we talked, it's like, "Dang it, Dean, you're more Lutheran than I am, darn it." And so he's like, "Yep." So I gave him all of Lutheran, he read it all, and he reminds me, well, I call him, we almost talk every day, he just reminds me again and again, "Eric, it's all about grace. God loves you. It's all about grace for you. You are a beloved child of God. You don't need to do anything about that except receive the grace, and you are free to serve and love the Lord." So this was his, this is what he said this morning.
"He is risen. Well, you go and tell, Eric, go and tell all those who are afraid, don't be afraid. He is risen from the dead. Hallelujah."
He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.